Blog Talk Radio.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success starts with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner, greatest living inside of me. Nothing you can do to stop me from leaving. Yeah, I know I can, I know I will, 'cause I'm a winner. The morning sun to ensure what I said I'll do what's really done. Come in my plans, I got no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come, but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must complete the mission, 'cause I'm a winner.
Well, good evening, everyone, and praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we have with us Pastor Steve Lee, and the title of the teaching that is going to be brought forth tonight is The Purpose of a Thing. We would like to thank you for tuning in here to us live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Thank you for your continued support. It is truly an honor to be here amongst each and every one of you and be able to allow you to be able to hear the Word of God here on Live Deliverance. With that being said, now we're getting ready to go ahead and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve Lee. As always, for those of you out there listening, I do encourage you, grab pencil and paper, pen, notepad, whatever you may need, and take some notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother Mike, for your assistance and faithfulness to the Lord in the thing that he's called you to. Well, brothers and sisters, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word. the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, I'm almost sure that this is going to be a series that we're going to dig into. The title is The Purpose of a Thing. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So that tells me that the purpose is the most important aspect of the equation. Timing and season both work best when purpose is understood and is in the proper perspective. He said, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a time because the purpose has been given. Okay? I guess we sometimes what we do is we look at things from inverted lenses. We try to find out the timing or the season of a thing, and then we would give it purpose. That would be kind of backwards, you know. God set things the way he wants them set. He does everything from purpose, for purpose, by purpose, through purpose, on purpose. I'll repeat that. God does everything from purpose, for purpose, by purpose, through purpose, and on purpose. God's not a God of accident. I mean, even when he is coming to fix a thing that we messed up, he's going to fix it from the position of purpose. You know, I guess what we do is we try to continue to get God to bless this mess instead of finding out from God what is his purpose for me in this situation. You know, and I'm not, he's not, no, that's true. See, God is not trying to punish you because of what you did. The punishment happens because you walked contrary to his word. Okay? When you come out of shelter and there is a storm, you will be impacted and affected by the storm. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous people are supposed to be found inside the tower so that they would be protected from the storm. But because of the situation, circumstances, personalities, they say this, they do this, and we go to react to what they said and what we do, what they did, and so then we come out of our place. See? The devil can't get you if you don't mess around in his field, right? Because you will be protected. There is an anointing that's on your life. That same anointing was on Adam and Eve's life, and they did not know sin until they came out from under the protection. God said, you can eat from every tree you want to eat. And he said, but this tree, you're going to have to keep that in reserve. That's not for you. I don't want you to eat from that tree. And then the devil said, I need y'all, protected ones, I need y'all to come out from under this covering so that I can then inflict pain upon you. So I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you things that might have a little bit of what you think you want in them. You know, the devil can only get us out of place through baiting us. That's what the snare is all about. It's a bait. See, and we go for the bait, and now we find ourselves in the trap. I mean, just think about that. I reference this a lot because that's where the problem started, so go back to there and fix it. Adam and Eve were living in the glory of God so much so they did not even know that they were naked. I mean, you know, how is that for covering? God even kept you from seeing you. Woo-wee. That right there, preach. I want to be one that's lost in his love. The way Paul says it, he says it this way, and being found in you. If I'm found in you, not having my own righteousness, if I'm found in you, then I am lost. Because I have no ability to be to exist or to be made manifest except it's in you. See, again, just so that you get it, if I'm the one that has on the whole armor of God, then the enemy doesn't see me. He sees the armor that God gave me. The devil won't know if that's you or God in that armor. It's the armor of God. It's the exact same armor that God has. Okay? So then if I keep myself in that position, in the place where my heart understands I was created for that. This is my purpose. See, I was created. I was created for his good pleasure. Okay, that's what I was created for. My purpose is to bring glory and honor to him. That glory and honor, wow. The glory and honor was not necessarily to be displayed through trials, because trials were not there. Adam and Eve were crowned with glory and honor, and there were no trials. I just want you to get that. The trials came because they invited them. If Adam and Eve had never, if Eve had not eaten from the tree, then she would have not entered or be exposed to it. And if Adam had not entered into the same trial, he could have covered Eve. This thing would have been over. It wouldn't have taken 20 seconds to fix that. But the devil messes us up by baiting us into things that God said we shouldn't do. And we think that because it's there, I can get it. I can have it. But you need to understand the purpose of a thing. See, that's what we want to talk about. We want to get into it and really discover the purpose of a thing. My people, God said, are destroyed for one reason and one reason only, lack of knowledge. They don't know the purpose of the thing. See, if I know why something is in front of me, then I'll move the right way, won't I? Because I understand its purpose. When I don't understand the purpose of a thing, I will abuse the thing. Abnormal use, abuse. It's a slam word, if you would. And we live in so easily, so readily, we function under abnormal use or abuse. There was a cartoon in my day, and it was called Fractured Fairy Tales. They weren't accurate fairy tales. They were twisted just a little bit. And a lot of times in our lives, we don't know the whole truth, because if we knew the whole truth, Jesus said freedom would happen from that. See? So we have fractured fairy tales, and so then we end up getting hurt because we don't know the purpose of a thing. So then we abused the thing. And then because we abused the thing, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. See? So if I sow from my abnormal use, then the abuse is what I'm going to have to go through. See, we could have circumvented the whole thing and just lived in the glory of God. We were created, crowned with that, covered in that. Okay? That's what God's original intent was. So his glory was to be displayed because it was in us, and the love that we have, that's the way, if you would. That's the way the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit function. They pour into one another. They pour love into one another. They don't pour fear into one another. They pour love. And because of that, the ability for that in this cycle to just con-
made with that likeness, with the ability to continually pour goodness from God who made us. He said in the day that he made us, we were very good, and we can pour from that goodness back into the Father. But we decided that we wanted to pour something else. Well, God's holding something back. That's what the devil convinced him of.
Okay?
You'll be like God. You already were like God. You were created in his image. See? So then all I had to do is take everything that's in me and release it to God. But then, as the devil did, iniquity was found in him. Now that can't be given to God because God is holy. So then we do things like try to hide it as if God didn't see it. Come on, y'all. He made you. And he saw you in the day that he made you, and you were perfect. You were very good. So then if you put something else in there, the one that made you would know, I didn't put that in there. That's why he asked the question of Adam. Adam, why are you hiding? Who told you something that I didn't tell you? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? You see, God is giving you an opportunity to repent. If you understand the purpose of a thing, then you can function in it fully. Okay? Everything that God has made was made from purpose, for purpose, by purpose, through purpose, on purpose. Okay? So we got to stop looking at this thing inverted, trying to find the season of a thing. People that are hunting for the right season, they're either hunting for something to start or they're hunting for something to end. Just kind of think about that. A season means, by definition, it means that there will be a transition from two. Okay? So they're either looking for something to start or something to start. God created us and made us to be partakers of eternity. Glory to God. I hope you get that. He made us. That is his plan from the beginning, and it will always be his plan. And we will ever live with the Lord. That's eternity, isn't it? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's eternity, isn't it? That's always been his plan. He wants us to be with him. So then if we are with him, then there is no need to look for a season then, is it? Okay, I'm not looking for the end of a thing or the beginning of a thing. I will continue that which I am created in. There is no, of his kingdom, there is no end. So if there is no end, I don't need seasons, do I? See, I found out that spiritual things, they live outside of the natural understanding. See? When I'm trying to make seasons my guiding post, okay, then here's a way. When I have a specific need, that places me in a season because I need something to end and something to begin. See, because of a specific need. But if I purpose to live in eternity, if I purpose to live in the kingdom in completion, then I don't need anything because in that place, my God supplies all. I think of it often. There are beings in heaven that live around the throne of God. And all they do every day, all day, is look up and see God say three words or the same word three times and go back to what they were doing before. They look up, they see God, and they cry, holy, holy, holy. They fall back down on their face, and whenever they get an unction or enough strength, whichever, to look up again, they see God, and they fall back down after saying, holy, holy, holy. They don't need food. They don't need clothes. They don't need a rest. This is all they do all day long. So that tells me that there is a place in God that my sufficiency will be answered completely. See? And I was created to be able to enjoy that. Well, I'll even go a little further. Since the angels desire to look into the things that we have, it must be even more, because we are a little higher than they would be. We're lower than God, but we were made higher on a different order than the angels because of relationship. Because he breathed in us the breath, the Zoe of God, the Ruach of God. Okay? So I'm just, if I understand, okay, I'll just stay with the scripture. He said these things are relegated to everything that's under the heaven. But he did make me to sit together in heavenly places, not under heavenly places, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've got to get my mind transferred to that seated position. I got to think from there. See? We're thinking, we're still thinking under the curse. The Bible teaches me in Galatians chapter 3 that he redeemed me from the curse. So then if he redeemed me from the curse, why am I still thinking and functioning as if I'm under the curse? Why did he come and elevate me if he wanted me to live the low? See, understand, again, what was the purpose of his death, burial, or resurrection? See, when I understand the purpose of a thing, oh, it changes everything. See? And that's what we really need to deal with. I'm growing really tired of living by goosebump experience. See? It happens. Things happen, and I don't have an explanation, and I get all happy and get a goosebump. No, I need to stop and say, Father, would you please show me the purpose of that? This whole experience that I went through just now was so that I would get a better understanding. You said, with all my getting, I should get understanding. I should seek after wisdom, not seek or live because of a goosebump. See, because that tells me right then that I'm still functioning in season thinking. I'm waiting for something to end or for something to begin. See? I'm trying to meet deadlines and obligations. And when I try to meet deadlines and obligations, that puts me in a time constraint. Purpose will always put things back in order. I don't need to deal with time constraints. Faith, all spiritual things. Okay. This is just some of the things that we got to think about. Purpose is eternal, non-changing. It is forever settled. Purpose first comes from God, and all spiritual forces stand aloof or outside of circumstances, and they impact and affect the things that are around them. Change happens because of that. See? If we would get that understanding, see? Purpose affects circumstances. If I live in purpose, then all of the things that I need, my God supplies. Because I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and then because I trust in him with all my heart, he will direct my path. And he's trying to get me to the, Jesus is always trying to get me to the Father. That's what he said. He's trying to get my connection with the Father. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if I can get you to open the door, then my Father and I will come in and we will sit down and sup with you. See, Jesus is always trying to get us connected with the Father. See? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. I won't be in need, will I? I mean, just... there are things that, again, we just look at it and we kind of read over it in the Bible. But because purpose causes me to be able to function outside of deadlines and seasons, because purpose is eternal, okay? When I enter into that, then I don't have to continue to function under the temporary, do I? But most of the things that we deal with are temporary things. Jesus' position of heart gave us this information that you're in the Father's hand and nobody's able to pluck you out of his hand. See, so then if I'm in the Father's hand, it really doesn't matter what I'm going through. My need to get out of it is really not the thing I'm trying to do now, because nobody's able to pluck me out of his hand. I just believe that whatever I've committed to him, he's going to do that. He's faithful to bring that thing to pass. He who begun a good work, he's going to finish it. He's not going to leave it undone so that I would have questions. He's going to finish it and remove every question. Not only will he remove every question, he will remove every tear. So then the pain of my waiting will not even be an issue anymore, because I get back into purpose. See? And I understand, I mean, I've seen some things differently. Spiritual forces are separate from circumstances. They impact and affect the things around them. Spiritual force, love. Love never fails. Even though pressures and observations from the outside seem to paint another view. Love never fails. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And love is he, and he is in you. See, that's a spiritual force. Peace is a spiritual force. And peace goes beyond our understanding. Peace will work, fight for us, and peace will keep us. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. See, these are spiritual forces. When I understand the purpose of a thing, it changes it. Purpose, I mean, it sounds so interesting. Purpose will remove questions. I don't ask why because I'm trying to understand, you know, the time frame. I ask why so that the purpose can be given to me. Then again, time frames no longer matter. Okay, I didn't put a deadline on God then. Okay, I understand the purpose, and it's generally not going to be something that's non-clear. It's going to be exact. He wants you to walk by faith. So then, why would he give you unclear instructions? Why would he cause you to stumble? In him, there is no darkness. See, so he wouldn't want you to be in a gray area then, would he? The Bible says that the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding. The entrance of his word does not hold back understanding. It gives understanding. And it will give it to the people that are simple. Okay, so then just saying that, I don't have to cause the thing to be all convoluted. He said, if I would just be simple. Simple can also be one that is sincere. If I'm going to put 150 conditions on it, that's not simple, is it? That's real complex. See, he wants us to function in childlike faith. God said it, I believe it, it's settled. See, there were things that happened in the life of Jesus, but he would go and pray, and those things did not control his day. See, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen, because purpose was given to him. See, so when I understand or seek after purpose, it changes this. It's spiritual force, peace. Watch this. You know it. Starting in verse 4 and going on. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or worried about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Why? So that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will then keep your hearts and the minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, look at this exchange. See, the devil comes and tries to get you to be upset. And Paul says, don't fall for that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Be careful for nothing. See, if I'm concerned about a thing, then that tells me that I'm functioning in time frames and seasons. Because it hasn't happened yet. No. He says, I'm going to just rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to let my moderation be seen. I'm going to let it be known. I'm not going to be one that's worried. I'm not going to be one that's concerned about stuff because God's got me, which means if God's got me, God's got that. Glory to God. Well, that was just good. You should know that. I am in his hand. If God got me, then whatever I got, that's why David would say stuff like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. Why? Because if God got me, he got this. So I don't have to worry about it. God got me. So then he has to, because he has me. That has to be worked out. That's part of the deal. I didn't accidentally slip this in. I came to God just as I am with all of my mess, and he knew it, and he still said, come. I saw you dying in your blood, and I said to you, when you were in a mess, come here. He knows about my mess, and if he's got me, he's got this. Come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden. He says, I know you got a mess. Come here, and I will give you rest. So if he's got me, he's got this. That's how I have confidence in that. Because I have given him everything. I don't have to hide anything from him. The Bible says that we are naked and open to him to whom we have to do with. He already knows this. So then why don't I go as if I have turned that over to him? I've given you my heart, Lord. He didn't say cast some of your care. He said cast all of it. Let this moderation be seen. Let it be known unto all men that you know that God is on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The Lord is at hand. I can rejoice because God is there. So then I'm only looking for the purpose of this, Lord. What do you want me to learn, do in this? Not how you're going to get me out of this. If I'm looking for how you're going to get me out of this, I am driven by a season. I am observing times. Okay? When you get lost in his love, then he's the one directing your path. Since he's directing my path, I don't have to have a deadline to get there. Okay, let's do it this way. If he's directing my path, I don't yet know where I'm going, do I? If I'm directing my path, then I have little landmarks and stuff that I'm going to try to check on. But if he's directing my path, I just get in the car. This is what I used to tell my daughter all the time. I say, come on, ride with me. She would ask, where you going? My response to her would be, you with me, don't worry about it. I'm not going to take her someplace that she's not supposed to be. I'm not going to take her someplace that she's going to get hurt. The Lord is directing my path. He's not going to take me somewhere that's going to be to my injury. That's not love. Love is a spiritual force. It stands outside that kind of craziness. It doesn't think that way. See? Let my moderation be known because the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, when I find myself there, see, this is just telling you, these are ways that you can cause your heart to go back after purpose rather than a promise. I said this in this study. I found out that purpose comes before any promise. Purpose is the reason that the promise is there. I never saw that before. Purpose is the power behind the promise. Purpose provides the provision in the promise. Because God does not speak idle words. Therefore, he cannot make idle promises. His words have purpose. But we've been going after God as the God of promise. And I understand that. But if I would understand that the God of promise is also first the God of purpose, glory to God. Now, me waiting for my promise is easy because as I stand in the purpose of God, his purpose was to deliver me and set me free. That's what it says. He sent his word to heal me and to deliver me. That was the purpose that the word was sent, to heal and to deliver. I heard the promise, but the purpose was prefaced first. Lord, I hope you get that. See, if I understand the purpose, then the promise, I just gave the promise more oof in my life. Because I'm not living by seasons. I'm not living by the dictates of deadlines and circumstances. See, I'm living by purpose. The Lord is at hand. Glory to God. So then I don't have to be careful. Now notice what happens when I'm not careful, because I understand that the purpose was there before the promise. Now my prayer and supplication is going to be given with thanksgiving. It's not going to be given with fret, worry, and apprehension. I'm not making requests now out of demands. I've moved away from deadlines and circumstances. I don't have to request now because of a demand. See, purpose is first. See, so then when I get that and I seek God for that, I just continue to go back to it and say, I'm not complaining because I'm in it. See, purpose is what did you have for me to do through this? Because having done all to stand means I'm going to have to stand. But I need to know why I'm standing. I need to know how to stand. Because if I don't stand in faith, my standing is in vain. Okay? So then I've got to talk to God and get from him. He will not withhold from me any good thing. The purpose for whatever's happening in my life, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? So he said, if I would walk uprightly, if I would stand in the position of expectation that he's going to give me revelation for the purpose that I'm supposed to be executed, whatever that is. See, if my purpose is to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, then I will understand that and I will invite that fulfillment of that purpose. I will invite it. I don't mind standing there when I understand that the reason that God has me there is so that people can see the light. They can see my good works and they can glorify God. They will begin to talk about God. I mean, just look at that, beloved. I don't have to talk to them about God. If I live correctly, they'll talk about God. It says they'll see your good works and they'll have a conversation. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I mean, that makes evangelism real easy, doesn't it? When they're the one talking about God, and they're not talking about how mad, it said they would glorify God. Hallelujah. I mean, it's easy. All I'm doing is playing cleanup now. God has changed their conversation. They're not mad at God, arguing with God. Their conversation is about the glory of God because I'm walking correctly. See, but if I'm going to go and complain like everybody else, then there's not going to be any conversation of glory around me. I'm just going to keep the woe is me happening over and over again. I did not understand my purpose. That's where the body of Christ has really missed this. See? Yes, we're supposed to fellowship. We're supposed to gather with those of like precious faith. Got that. But I'm not supposed to bring a word of condemnation, a word of frustration into the faith that God has given us. See, I'm supposed to be one that continues to bless the Lord and all that is within me. They didn't say, oh, complain before the Lord. Or people would tell you, I'm not complaining, I'm just explaining. Well, if you're not, if you're doing that, when you're complaining and think you're not, and you're just explaining, you also are not maintaining. See? Because the way we overcome by the word of our testimony, we don't overcome by the word of our frustration. See? And a lot of times we have put ourselves in that position. We didn't understand our purpose. We are not there. We are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Not let your frustration so shine. Let your worry so shine. That's not what he told you to do. He said, let your light so shine. We have the answer for the world today. Jesus is that answer. But we keep misusing our purpose. We think we're there to assure, I don't know how we think that. We think we're there to assure them that things are going to be all right because we went through this too. That's not the way he wanted you to do this. I understand you went through that. My testimony is not supposed to be how bad it was. My testimony is supposed to be how good it is. If my testimony is how bad it was, then I'm going to invite them into the bad. My whole conversation of testimony should be about overcoming, not going through. And I get that that's the way we were trained. I get that. I understand that. Jesus said things about trouble. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulations. Let's not talk about the tribulations. Let's talk about the good cheer. I am here, and I have overcome. Do you see the difference? But be of good cheer. Not continue to tell everybody about the hard time. Why are you climbing up the rough side of the mountain when he seated you together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Okay? He wants our conversation to be elevated so that we can then bring them to the place of elevation. I mean, really, y'all, there is just a different conversation because of elevation. That was kind of free. You can write that one down. There is a different conversation because of elevation. If I'm going to bring all of the muck and mire, I'm going to bring people down because that's where muck and mire is. It is on the low life. But if I'm going to bring people up, then I have to elevate my conversation. Okay? Okay, well, here, it's right here. Watch this. There it is. It says that if I do this and my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I let my request be known unto God. And he says, now the peace of God, which passes your understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. Finally, whatsoever things are honest. Finally, whatsoever things are just. Finally, whatsoever things are pure. Finally, whatsoever things are lovely. Finally, whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? Because that's what your conversation should be. The elevation of your conversation is going to be on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. See? He did not tell you to go back and visit the hard time that you just had. I mean, for him to spend a whole sentence on what you should be thinking about and talking about. I think we should do that if we're going to give a testimony that gives glory.
Take
the things that you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do. Why? When you do these things, watch what happens. The peace of God is going to be with you. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says that the God of peace who's with you will bruise Satan under your heel shortly. See? And when I understand purpose, then faith being a spiritual force that guarantees you a victory. This is the victory that overcomes even faith. See, faith works better if purpose is understood. Hope, the Bible says, abides forever. Love, hope, charity, they abide forever. Faith, hope, and charity abide forever. See? Even in the face of a hopeless situation, turn to Romans chapter 5, chapter 4. We'll get to chapter 5. Turn to Romans chapter 4. See, God speaks words of purpose. See? And so if we would understand that, then because we get the connection with purpose, then we'll have something for faith to have a pathway. We'll have something for love to then execute. Every spiritual force works by purpose, on purpose, for purpose, through purpose. Okay. Romans chapter 4. The whole chapter, I'm trying not to do the whole chapter, but the whole chapter, read it and begin to glean from the chapter, okay? Because he's talking about Abraham and how Abraham saw things happen that were not supposed to happen because he applied a spiritual force to it. And see, I just said that the purpose is there so that the promise can be released. Okay? And I had never looked at this through purpose first. Let's see this in verse 13 and following. For the promise that he should be the heir of the word was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For they which are of the law be, for if they which are of the law be heirs of faith is made void, but the promise, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law works wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise will be sure to all the seed, not only of that which is of the law, but those which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Watch this. I had never seen this before. As it is written, if it is written, it had to have a purpose for being spoken. Is that correct? It was not written without being spoken, and it was not spoken without having a purpose. I'm thinking it was written because of promise, but it was written because of purpose. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. The purpose was stated right there. The purpose was that God needed children in the earth. And he's going to have a man that understands the purpose of the promise. The promise brought the purpose to light. And the purpose was that I have made thee the father of many nations. That was not just the promise. That was the purpose. Before him whom we believed, even God, whom quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, or according to the purpose. See? I mean, when we get this, it opens us up again, because I'm not making a demand on God just because I saw a promise. I now am receiving the purpose of God that supports the promise, releases the promise. Because I know there have been plenty of people that have quoted what they said the word said, but they didn't understand the purpose for the promise. They just went after they was in need. See, they were hunting for seasons to end or begin. They were trying to get out of the wrong time and into the right time. Well, if I utilize purpose, it catapults me into the place where the promise now works, because it works by the purpose. Everything God does, through purpose, by purpose, for purpose, from purpose, by purpose. He does it on purpose. See? But we go to the, and I know they didn't mean harm. I know they didn't. But we'll go to the promise box of God and pull out a scripture and go for it. No, what I need to do is to take the scripture and ask God to reveal the purpose of the scripture. And all you're getting, get understanding. See? Wisdom is the principal thing. See? Not desire. He didn't say desire was the principal thing. Because we'll hear that over in Mark 11. Whatever things you desire. No, please, get the purpose. Then the desire has a place to stand on. See? If I don't have the purpose, I really don't have a place. I don't have structure underneath it. I still got desire. I mean, I get that. I'm trying to give you an understanding that will take you out of just seeking God, seeking his hands. There you go. It's time out for seeking his hands. Do something, God. Just show your power, God. If I understand the purpose, the next step will be a manifestation. See? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There was a purpose there. Before the promise of him being the deliverer, the purpose was that he would deliver. That he saw you in the mess and he wanted to deliver on purpose, through purpose, by purpose. See? So he says, the purpose there was stated. The purpose as it is written. That tells me that there was a reason for the writing, a reason for the speaking. Okay? I just didn't go to Romans 4:17 and just say, because you promised it, God. Okay? I appreciate that. I've done that. It's probably necessary for us to go on to the deeper things. And in verse 19, it says, and he not being weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Why? Because purpose makes me not look at stuff. That's the reason I can be strong in faith. Because I'm not looking at the deadline. I'm not looking at the season. I'm now looking at the purpose. See? The purpose doesn't care. Purpose stands outside of circumstances. It stands outside of the things that the enemy would try to do to stop me from executing the promise. Purpose is the reason that the promise is there. Okay. Please get that. Purpose, you can write this down. Purpose comes before any promise. Purpose is the power behind the promise. Purpose provides the provision in the promise. Okay? So that if you would get that, get the purpose of a thing, then it's easy for you to bring the thing into your life, because purpose is waiting on you. Purpose is waiting on you. You're called as children of promise, which means you were called as children of purpose. See? When we get this, then that kind of puts us in a different position. Again, I'm no longer begging God, looking at seasons and times to get things to change. I understand purpose. And since purpose is in me now, I live on purpose, by purpose, because he's going to do everything through purpose. Okay? So I just said purpose is waiting on you. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Why? Because he understood the purpose that God was speaking to him. This is why I said it. This is why it's written. I made thee the father of many nations. I need people in the earth that's going to serve me. Because it said when he did that in Genesis chapter, I think it's 12, he says, I know Abraham will command his children after him. That's why he made him the father. So that Abraham would bring into manifestation the promised word of God, because purpose was understood by him. So then he didn't have to consider all of the things that we consider when we have weak faith, because we didn't have it undergirded by purpose. It was shown up undergirded by desire, but it wasn't undergirded by purpose. And then because he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith and he gave glory to God. Because he was fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able to perform. He was fully persuaded because he understands every word God says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Because everything he spoke for the purpose that it should be done. See? And he says, these things, therefore, because he did this, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And not only was it written for his sake alone that it was imputed, but for our sake. Wow. See? So that we can get to this place. Go on down to chapter 5. See? This is all connected. The Bible didn't have chapter and verse. He kept on speaking of the point. Therefore, we are justified by faith. And we have peace. Remember, those are the spiritual forces that are standing outside of the conditions and circumstances. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this, we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh or employs patience, and impatience employs experience, and experience employs hope. And then hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. See, when I understand the purpose of the thing, then the way the things lay out or work from there are easy, because they all employ the next spiritual force. But if I don't have purpose and I don't understand the purpose provides the power or the promise, then I'm still looking for things to happen, but I don't have a platform that the next spiritual force comes into play. Because we know that tribulation works patience, and patience works or employs experience, and experience employs hope, and then hope's going to make you not ashamed. See? It's going to make sure that you don't end up in a place where you're not giving God glory through your life. See, not just through your words, through your life. Men are going to see good works. They're going to see things in your life they don't see in everybody else's life, and they're going to then glorify God because of it. See, I want us to really get to and grasp the purpose of a thing. Grasp the purpose of the promise. Don't just grab the promise. I would say to you that if you are promise hoarding, then you are a person that is carnal in your thinking. When I possess purpose, the promise comes with the purpose. See, if I just possess the promise, I don't know, we're going to have to go through some things. See? We're going to have to do a whole lot of things that we're not set up to do, or we don't even have to do. With purpose comes the promise. With purpose comes the blessing. I have made thee. This is why the faith is going to work, Abraham, because I've already made thee the father of many nations. Again, that was not just promise that was purpose. See? When I see it from that lens, it's easy then to allow faith to flow because it always has a funnel. It always has structure. Purpose would be that structure. For those of us that have released faith in this a promise or that promise coming to pass and haven't seen it, I would submit to you that you would need to go back and understand the purpose of the promise. It was not so that you can just be better than he's blessing your foe and no more. God doesn't think from that perspective. God has a global understanding mindset. See? He's interested in people seeing what he's doing because the purposes of God are alive in your heart. See? But if I don't have the purposes of God and all I'm doing is demanding that God do this or that, that would be pride, wouldn't it? And God is going to resist that. But when I understand purpose, it's easy for him to cause faith to flow because purpose is the funnel that faith works through. It's the support structure. It was not so, okay, again, this is what James says. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. See? You don't have the right purpose for the promise to be made manifest. All you want to do is look good because you say you know God. You connected to God. That was not the purpose for the promise. So then here we are asking and receiving not because we ask amiss. We simply want to look good for the people. See, we did not understand purpose first. Because once you understand purpose, then it's easy for you to walk in victory because you just took off all of the time deadlines that we've done because desire was the thing driving us. I didn't say desire was not necessary because Jesus said, what's the things you desire? I got that. But if I have purpose, desire has a real way to get done what's supposed to be done. Purpose. Understand the purpose of a thing. Because to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose that's under heaven. But the choice is yours. Your way on God's way. God's waiting on you. He wants you to elevate your conversation so that when you talk to him and for him, purpose is released. Purpose is understood. And that which is done on purpose will be enjoyed a whole lot quicker. Thank you, Father, for showing us errors in our thinking and in our conversations, errors in our executions, the things that we've done to stall what we've been asking for because we've been just asking to consume it upon our lust so that we would look good, so that we would get out of this or get away from that. But Father, purpose delivers us every time, all the time. Cause us to see that, Father, to walk in that, to communicate that to everyone so that it will not be a thing where people are arguing with you on how to get a thing done. I just want to know what the purpose of it is, because when I understand the purpose of a thing, you are involved because you started it all by purpose. We give you praise for that, sir. Give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Okay, folks, we're going to open up the lines here for commentary. Looks like we have a caller in the queue, area code 312-330. 312, you have the mic.
Thank you. Hello. God bless you.
Hello.
All.
Hello. Amen.
I just wanted to say that this was a very good teaching on purpose, because you linked a lot of things together. When we talk about purpose, most people are so confused in their just daily lives that they don't, and so, wait, confused and overwhelmed in their daily mm-hmm. lives that they really don't think that they have a purpose at all.
Correct.
Or they right. can't see it. And right. all of us go through different kinds of tragedies in our mm-hmm. lives. And
right.
in addition to those tragedies, it's difficult to see how anything fits
Absolutely.
Together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or how it, how we yeah. have a purpose. But
right.
all of
right.
those tragedies, all of the things that happen in each one of our individual lives are
right.
preparing us for our
True.
Purpose.
Correct.
And,
Correct.
You know, when you look back at Noah and the Ark, that family ended up being the only people left on the earth.
Right.
That's too big for us to understand, and yet it happened.
Yeah.
Okay, right. and then you look at Abraham.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, God has big purposes for
mm-hmm.
our lives. We think small. We need
right.
to give him all the glory all the time.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say one other thing, because a lot of times we have the nerve to get tired when we're
mm-hmm.
either being chastised or when we're being delivered,
right.
okay? Or we
right.
have the nerve to get angry with God because we think that he's taking too long and we can't see the
right.
outcome
right.
or his divine purpose for our lives.
Right. Right.
We need to get over us and get into God and into Christ.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I just want to thank you again for that teaching. And
Amen.
God bless you
Amen.
All in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. We receive that. And, you know, it's just so true that we equate events to purpose. And God had something in mind before that. Sometimes we don't do the right things, and the events grow or be elongated. But all of that is simply to get you to the place where you get yourself out the way and just say, you know what, God, you will show me, you will give me an understanding of the purpose of the thing. And when I get to that, it's over. But we don't want to do that. We want to be gods unto ourselves. Not a good place for us to be. Thank you for being part of the call tonight. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. That was our only caller for this evening.
Okay.
So was there anything
Amen.
That you'd like to close out on before in the broadcast?
Just, again, rethink and come to the place of understanding. What is the purpose of the thing? Not from a position of anger. Because God is not dealing with you. He does not deal with us because of wrath. Jesus took that. That's done. Okay? He deals with us as sons now. Okay? And so then we have to go ahead and say, what are you saying to me, Father? There's a purpose that I will find from you so that I can come to you at a different level. And that's what we're going to do. So I just want you to look at that. I'll probably get some more of this, because there's some things I just wanted to show you scripturally, so we'll probably do this next week. So, amen. Glad to have you all on the call.
Amen. All right, folks, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to us here live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. And with that being said, we would like to thank you once again. Shalom. Good night. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here next week live on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Amen. Amen. Shalom.